One of the greatest challenges that people have is trusting people. I just heard a message from Pastor Stevens about this. One of the greatest challenges people have is trusting people. So my question for you is, how do you trust people? How do you go about trusting people? Because people don't trust others often simply because they get hurt or they feel in some way betrayed, disappointed. Something didn't come through that they were hoping for from the other person that they had expectation. And sometimes that's legitimate and sometimes it's not. But there are times when it's legitimate. For example, in conspiracies. Conspiracies will happen to a church, a good church, periodically, once every 10 to 15 years on average. Why? Because the devil is here. The devil is real. The devil does not like the finished work. He does not like the word of God. He does not like people who mean business with God. And they will become targets for him. Don't get discouraged when that happens. It's a compliment. If you were not a threat to the devil, then he would not target you. The fact that you are a threat to the devil means that you have meaning in the kingdom of God. And so, it's very easy for people to stop trusting. The question is, how do we trust people? The answer is, you don't. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to trust people. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When you try to put trust in people, then you no longer trust God with all your heart. Now your trust is divided. 100% of your trust must be in God. If you put your trust elsewhere, it will fail you. 100% guaranteed. God will make sure of it. Why? Because then you have idolatry going on in your life. You don't trust anyone except God. Now, I did not say you don't love anyone. I did not say you don't have compassion on people or forgiveness. I did not say anything other than this one point. You don't trust anyone. Why? People have a sin nature. You cannot trust the sin nature. Isaiah 1:6 says that the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. Romans 7 says there's nothing good in any of us. So what are you going to trust? A sick head and a faint heart? Are you going to trust something that's not good in someone? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, not one person. And so how do you trust people? You don't. People get in trouble when they trust people. Now, by saying don't trust them, I'm not saying be suspicious of them. There can be a tendency sometimes to think that not trusting is the same as being suspicious. Suspicion has nothing to do with trust. If I'm suspicious, that's a whole nother matter. That means that more than likely, I'm thinking evil of someone. Now, if I suspect something, that's also something different. That may or may not be discernment. But suspicious and suspecting are two different things. Suspecting is you think something's going on. Suspicious, you're looking for something going on. You don't look for things going on with people. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says you don't know anyone from the source of your own flesh. Living in suspicion means you are knowing people sourced in your own flesh, in your own sin nature. That's no good. You don't trust yourself either, by the way. Sometimes people trust their own flesh. They don't trust other people's flesh. They trust their own flesh. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked just as much as their heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so, why would I trust their flesh? By the way, the sin nature is genetic. It's in your DNA. It's genetic. So that means when it came by Adam, it came through the genes. It came through the DNA. So don't be surprised if your sin nature is similar to somebody else's sin nature. All our sin natures are similar. All our sin natures have the same capacity because we all have the same sin nature. We inherited it genetically from Adam, ultimately. But because we do have this sin nature, we can't trust. We do trust God. If I trust God with all my heart, I'm not trying to divide that trust between Him and somebody else. And this is a problem that people run into. They say, well, I should be able to trust people. I should be able to trust at least certain people. Where is that written? Show me that written anywhere in the Bible. That's not true. You trust God with 100% of your heart, 100% of your frame of reference. You don't trust anyone else. Trusting them means that you have a confident expectation from them, with this expectation being toward your benefit. Well, you know, why would I trust them and why would they have that thought? A sin nature will never have that thought. God will have that thought. God says He is for us. He is not against us. God says He goes above and beyond all that we can ask or think. God says in Jeremiah 29:11 that He knows His thoughts toward us. These are thoughts of peace and not of evil. He wants to give us our expectations according to His purposes. I can trust Him because He is pure love. I cannot trust anyone else. God is the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is the one who says, He provides all your needs. God is the one who says He thinks no evil of you at any time. God is the one who says you are accepted in Him. Nobody else says that. Nobody else can say that. Nobody else has that ability. So you only trust God. Why do people get hurt when their trust in somebody fails? Because if you're putting trust in people, it will fail 100% of the time. That is to say, each person that you put trust in will eventually fail you. Some people you may be more willing to forgive than others. That's a whole other issue in itself. And so you're willing to dismiss their failure. Now, here's the other thing. You don't have the right to put your trust in someone. Putting your trust in somebody says to them, I have this expectation of you that you are something beyond human, that you will never fail me, that you will always come through for me. We may have that desire, but in no way do we have the right to trust in that regard with other people. Some things belong to God, some things belong to people. Give to God what belongs to Him. Trust is one of those things. You never assign to someone, a person, what only God can do. People do it all the time. And it ends up in frustration, it ends up in wounds, it ends up in broken relationships. People do it all the time. They put their trust in somebody and that somebody disappoints them. And then for the next however many years, They say, well, I can't trust people, or I can't trust this group. If it happens within a church, people say, well, I can't trust the people in that church. If a pastor does that, I can't trust pastors. You're in sin. You're putting your trust where it doesn't belong. You're in idolatry when you do that. God will never leave you. God will not disappoint you. God may not do always what you want Him to do. But you still trust Him. Now, the thing about trusting God is it's not a suggestion and it's not an offer. It's a command. There are people who will say, I can't trust God. I didn't get the answer to my prayer. There's so many things wrong with that on so many levels. There's no way to address them in the time that we have. But number one, if you did not get an answer to prayer, then there's several possibilities. One of the most common is you're not ready to receive the answer. Number two, the time is not right to receive the answer. Number three, God has a specific purpose for the answer and that purpose needs to be carried out. Number four, you asked amiss. You asked for the wrong thing. You asked something either that would hurt you or that is contrary to the purposes of God. Remember, God is the king, we are not. God is the king. And as long as God is the king, His command stands. You have to trust Him or you won't live with Him. If I don't trust God, what am I going to do when things go wrong? Now, it can happen that people trust other people instead of God. People become their portion. That's very easy to do in intimate relationships. Either in marriage, you can do that, where the spouse becomes your portion. Other family relationships, parents, or for that matter, children can become somebody's portion. A good friend can become somebody's portion. In other words, that is the person that they rely on in order to have joy, in order to have happiness, satisfaction, completion, in order to feel satisfied, in order to feel like everything is right. As long as that person is like this, then everything is right. That's idolatry. Trust is only toward God. If you trust someone else, you will fail. Why? Because in the trusting of somebody else, and this people don't often recognize, you will be self-oriented. Trusting God requires God orientation. And so long as you trust God, you will maintain God orientation. But the moment you become self-oriented, your trust will be divided. Trusting yourself also requires self-orientation. Trusting other people requires self-orientation. Because you're no longer looking to God, you're looking for something to satisfy self. That, by definition, is self-orientation. That's how the serpent approached Eve in the garden. He brought self-orientation and he did it subtly. Self-orientation is poison. That's where everything goes wrong. It's self-orientation. If you see self-orientation creeping in, deal with it quickly. Self-orientation leads to three things. Do you guys remember what they are? It goes to self-righteousness, which brings you to self-centeredness, which brings you to self-pity. Self-pity is extremely difficult to get out of. It's possible, but it's very difficult. Most people, once they enter self-pity, they will have some aspect of self-pity for the rest of their life. In self-pity, you don't have an active relationship to God, even if you are saved. Why? Because you've quenched the Holy Spirit. That's why self-pity can exist, is because the Holy Spirit is quenched. You quench the Holy Spirit when you will have none of what He is saying to you. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a guide in truth. The Holy Spirit brings your decisions to you. He is God. He reveals the love in the heart of God toward you, the thoughts of God toward you. That has to be quenched in order to live in self-pity. Nobody can live in self-pity who has the Holy Spirit's thoughts. Because the Holy Spirit is quenched, self-pity is very difficult to get out of. Self-pity is also where intrinsic evil comes from. Intrinsic evil is basically malignant thinking. It's the brooding, the inward anger, the stewing that people have. It's reflecting Satan's attitude without communicating it yet. Bitterness is an example of this. Now, how do you overcome that? There's only one way to do it. And you're not going to find it in a verse. It's a principle, but it's not a verse. Quit the self-indulgence. That's how you overcome self-pity. You quit self-indulgence. Most people will never quit self-indulgence. So, when God sees somebody who's in self-pity, He pours it on. What does He pour on? He does not pour on love. Why? He pours on the things that will make the self-pity grow. Because He needs to let the person experience the fruit of what they're doing if they are to actually quit self-indulgence. Only when you experience the misery of it sufficiently will you be willing to quit. That's the natural man. So God allows that person to experience all the negativity and the misery and the bitterness, all the unpleasantness of self-pity, the depression of it, all of it. God will allow it. As a matter of fact, in many cases, God will magnify it. Because they need to get good and miserable before they quit. And people at that point say, well, what do you want me to do? Quit? Yes. 100% absolutely. Just quit. Now they're thinking, should I quit going to church? Should I quit whatever? Quit striving. And start receiving. See, there's a tendency in self-pity to add sin unto sin. But why did they enter into self-pity in the first place? Beyond the self-orientation. You see, this is one of the traps of self-orientation, is because you start trusting apart from God, and once you trust apart from God, you are in self-orientation, and the other aspects of self-orientation automatically follow. Trusting God protects you from self-orientation. When you quit the self-indulgence, essentially, that is the deny yourself portion of what Jesus told people when He said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow Me. That's the deny yourself part of it. Quit the self-indulgence. Self-indulgence simply means you tolerate the things of yourself. Don't tolerate them in yourself. Don't entertain them. Then you can get out of self-pity. Once the self-indulgence stops, the capacity toward God opens. And then you have some hope of actually having a life with God again. But this trusting people, this notion is a great deception. You don't trust people. You trust God. Nowhere does it say you are to trust any person. That's a very humanistic way of looking at things. Well, I should be able to trust this person as though this person is something more than a person. It's idolatry. By the way, idolatry does have demons attached. And so it's the demons that tell you you can trust your flesh. Or it's the demons that can tell you you can trust other people's flesh. Well, they're not in the flesh. That's a spiritual person. You know, nobody on this planet has lost their sin nature. I don't care who they are or what they are. You don't replace your trust in God with trust in them. Because then God will make sure that things go badly. Why? James 4:6. Humble yourself and God lifts you up. Pride, however, will result in a military stand of opposition against us by God. That means God goes to war against a person, not because he hates them, because he needs to turn them. Watch out for trusting self. Trusting self is one of the most deceitful things that can be. Trusting other people is equally deceitful as trusting self. Nowhere in the Bible are we supposed to trust anyone but God. That's why it says, trust him with all your heart. It doesn't say just trust him. It's very specific. Trust him with all your heart. Well, if he has all of the heart, then nobody else has any of the heart. Because all of it is his. Anyway, questions or comments?